Triple M Football is the number one football call on radio.
The Bullies on the radio!
And your front row.
For the Herald Sun's Nissan Supercoach. Sign up now for free at supercoach.com.au and take on your mates.
Welcome to the Friday Rub.
For McDonald's, create your taste.
Triple M rocks football.
Friday night football at Eddie Had Stadium, of course, and we're looking for North Melbourne and Essendon. And I'm excited. I look around this box. I see some people that are equally excited. The Chiefs are superstar, four-time premiership champion for Hawthorn. Gary's a superstar, five-time All-Australian, captain of Victoria, captain of Melbourne. And I look at the people that are worried, the man who breaks more news than anyone else in this caper. Tom Bell Chambers in here. We speak to him, of course. Jack Revolt as well. And we get ready for the Kangas and the Bombers on a Friday night. And well, nice to see you, Purple.
Yeah, I'm happy, Jim, but I'm not sure about the man immediately to my left at the moment. And Chief's always reasonably okay on a Friday night, but Gary's had a bit of a meltdown in your absence in the previous 20 minutes.
Things are good with you?
I'm not happy, Jim.
Why aren't you happy?
Because if my back row partner's not happy, then I'm not happy.
He's happy?
I'm not sure
he's
going
to talk. And if you're the reason, Jim, well, then I don't like you either.
Gary, why wouldn't you be happy?
Why wouldn't you?
You're here on a Friday night.
I'm here every Friday night.
Of course. And it's going to be fantastic
every Friday
tonight.
During the footy season.
You're giving me a lift tomorrow down to July.
I look to my left, I'll see my mate, and he will also be here.
I look to the front, and it's a raffle. I don't know who's going to be
here. Well, you got the big bristle, though. And then he'll give you nothing but
actually,
rolled gold.
To be fair, he's always here.
And the Duke? Back in he comes.
Where are you going, Jim?
Well, it's the North game, so the Duke gets involved, and he will do a fantastic job.
You sure?
What am I sure? It's the North game.
No, the Duke.
Oh, sure, the Duke. He's got
seen him for a fortnight.
He's back, Duke.
He came
back.
Back
on breakfast. He's
on
back, Gary.
I won't believe it.
Called you a snake in the grass on radio too this morning, guys.
Oh, I won't believe it until I see him.
Actually, and lay your eyes on him.
If it was up to me and Chief, he wouldn't be back.
No. I think Brian
look at the body language of these two tools.
Brian should be permanent.
Well, some sort of suspension for not only staying in the tropical resort longer than he should, but also then once he did get a flight, holding the whole flight up, which we'll go into later.
Agree. Sure. And for being a general pinhead as well.
Chief's happy, Jim, because he's broken his thumb.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, well, we did discuss this during the week, and you weren't sure at that stage, Chief, if it was a break. This is, as I understand, the middle of a wrestling segment on your show, and Spud caused you some damage.
It wasn't wrestling. It was a bit of taekwondo.
Taekwondo,
Jim.
Yes. What happened?
Spud did something that he said he wouldn't do and broke my thumb.
Right. So he went and had a scan after the midweek rub, and confirmed.
It is confirmed.
So what does that mean?
Our good man, Dr. Rowan White, who's on top of absolutely everything, just went whack, 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 made it happen, fixed. Just got to wear this brace splint for a few weeks.
He is a man who's broken his thumb in half.
Yes.
Who's gone in, only just had it confirmed, and here he is. Now, if that was a front row operator, wouldn't see him for a month.
Correct.
I beg your pardon?
I can't come, I've got a sore thumb. Not Chief. Look at him.
I had my head opened up by a golf ball and did the whole night.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Did you break anything?
Yes, my skin twice.
When did
that blood seeping out?
How did you get hit by a golf ball?
I hit myself. Cut, Gaz, that night.
You hit yourself?
I hit myself with a golf ball.
It's a scratch.
Pretty hard to do.
How?
It's a scratch.
Hit it into a tree. It's a couple of years ago.
A ricocheted red ogle.
Hit me right in the face, and I had to have 14 stitches.
That's how bad it was.
But
Chief can't even remember.
I didn't get stitched until after we finished. So that can't be said about me, Gary.
Nothing broken.
Whereas maybe the others.
No.
Well, not Bristle. Bristle would never read front up, rain, hail, or shine.
He'd fix it himself.
Well, I thought you were going another way with it. I thought you were going to say that Chief broken thumb. Here he is and no complaining, unlike our old friend who had 4 months of complaining.
Well, that's the force.
And then had an operation that uncovered nothing wrong with him.
I know, but then he was in a lot of pain after the show. Like we all were. And so he'll be all right, the champ. He's just had a tough week. We've all had tough weeks, but we front up, Chief, don't we?
Ready for a big game tonight. You're my better producer, Jim.
And if North lose, Jim should quit.
Well, I agree. Not should, has to.
Yeah, in fact, we'll be calling, we'll demand it.
Yeah, must.
By the end of the
must.
Show
so
tonight.
It'll be my fault, will it?
So you're barking for Essendon, Chief.
Yeah.
For the first time in my life.
Well, yeah, you are. You've even worn their colours, Chief, I see. What are we expecting from Essendon, by the way, before you can ask me anything like about North Melbourne? Not that I know.
Well, we watched them last week, and they beat Melbourne my side, and they did it on the back of having a crack. They had a big honesty meeting session through the week, which we've all done those, Chief, and thing about when you sit down and eyeball each other and you just spill your guts, which I'm told that's pretty much what happened.
Yep.
Got it all off the liver. If you don't win the next week, game over.
Is that the end of the trip?
They had to find a way, and they did. They were fortunate they played Melbourne.
who didn't know how to win and should have won. And so that was probably the saving grace for them. So young side, had a crack, made a heap of mistakes, but just worked really hard. And they'll hopefully do the same again tonight for Hurdy, but they're a much different opposition. And if North Melbourne are the team they think they are, and that is a finals contender and hopefully higher aspirations for them, they should put them to the sword very, very comfortably tonight.
North had a big moment last week too, guys, didn't they? With Brad Scott returning after 4 weeks out and the big changes he made. Lindsay Thomas dropped. Yeah. Brett Harvey subbed. They had a good result against Geelong. But, again, they've got to back it up tonight, don't they?
That's a great call, what they did with Boomer. I thought that was fantastic. He was just cruising. Not him, but the whole footy world was there sitting there going, oh, isn't it great? There's Boomer. He's going to play 402 weeks. He's going to go around again. And Boom saying, yeah, I'm going to go on a contract talk. And Brad Scott said, hang on a second, champ. You might get to 400. Right now, you're not flying. I'll put this vest on you. And then you show us that you're going to get to 400 in 2 weeks' time and play on next year. So I thought the timing was impeccable. Combine that with the Lindsay Thomas. Is he back this week?
No.
So 2 weeks out, and I reckon that put the whole lot of them on edge.
Tell me, though, were you surprised, and is it only when you research it for the programs you did on the weekend after the event, or the Monday night program more so, the Footy Classified, that you realised that there was justification for that decision to sub him? Because I hand up, I thought it was a really bizarre call on the night, but then you go behind the scenes and you look at what has been happening in recent games, and you get a reason for it.
Numbers can be very misleading. It's very easy to chalk up your 20-25 stats per week in this day and age, in this game, Walker. But what I loved, the fact that Brad Scott came out and just said, look, everyone's got to follow the team rules. And if you don't, there's a penalty to be paid regardless of who you are, regardless of how important you are or what status you hold. If you don't follow the rules, you pay the penalty. And that's what's happened. But to his credit, Boomer's taken it on the chin. He's going to work hard. He worked hard when he came on. He'll work hard again.
No, and it's not Boomer's fault, but Nick, I saw Nick Del Santo on the Sunday Footy Show when they asked him about Boomer going on next year. You would have been on it, were you?
Yep.
He said, I'll tell you why he's going on next year, because he's our best player, or one of our two best players. So I follow North like we do every other side other than your own, and as closely as we can with 17 other sides. When I heard him say that, I thought he must be flying. And we did have a look at the coaches' votes through the on the weekend, and of course both coaches give votes. And Boomer's got 4 for the year.
Not great.
Well, and they may have come from the opposition coach, you don't know. So all that does put into really strong context where he's been going from Brad's point of view and or even an opposition coach's point of view. So he's proud. He'll go next. I'm sure he'll play next year. My own view is he'll play next year. But I think a nice little straighten up at game number 397 was a magical move.
What about the other man? With 400 under his belt. Dustin Fletcher, who's now out for an extended period of time. Is he going to play on, Walker?
There is some doubt because he's seriously struggling with a groin / OP condition, which is serious enough to have him have not played since that 400th game milestone. And with only a handful of games now effectively left, there is some doubt. And my take on it, Chief, and Essendon hasn't yet revealed any plans around this, but my take on it is that they're desperate to get him back for one more, to make it a farewell game. And that they'll also do something similar with Winderlich and Chapman, but they're yet to bed down any plans on that. But that's what they want to have happen, for him to at least get back for at least one more.
What are you saying he's got?
An OP / groin.
You're saying he's got osteitis pubis?
Yeah. I think you'll find James Hurd has commented around that
all
this week.
Well,
as
at age 40, with OP, that's it, Chief. You're not going on next year. With OP.
Oh, he's not going on next year. I think that's done. It's just, I think now it's a matter of
he
actually
be lucky
back
to get back
in 2015.
If you go, the osteitis pubis is horrendous.
They want him to get back, and he wants to get
thing.
Back.
Yeah, Melbourne, yeah. Nurse him back for one, but that's just about curtains.
Isn't it funny, though? Osteitis pubis has fallen into the background. Yep. It was so rife a few years back. Every man and his dog was getting it. Now you barely hear an isolated case.
Whether that is, it's a flavour. Remember, it used to be hernias. Yeah. Then it was OP. So whether there's a different, but also might be training methods. Just going on with the way our crew are operating at the moment. This is from Chua.
Yes.
Mate, I'm an F-wit. Left my media pass at home. Oh, no. Are you able to get me in?
What's he on about?
This is our stats man.
Come on, Chief.
You know what they say, Chief?
Should be better than that.
Fish rots at the head.
He does sit in the front row here, doesn't he?
Tunnicliffe.
Well, Tunnicliffe, he's going tomorrow.
Exactly.
He needs holiday.
He's shipping himself
off.
He
might have one real long holiday.
Hey, you spoke about this last night on the Footy Show, Purple, and I have no idea where it's come from, but suddenly back half of this week, there were all of these people coming to me saying that there's a massive rumour around that Boomer will be rested this week and therefore won't play next week and will play his 400th game in Melbourne, which didn't make any sense to me because the following week isn't North Melbourne's home game
anyway.
No,
it's not, is it?
And all of these plans had been made months out to fly all his kids and his mum and dad and
to
special arrangements to Brisbane. So where did this come from?
No, not entirely sure. And I spoke to Brisbane as well as North Melbourne yesterday, and they've set aside super boxes and rooms for Brent Harvey. So, we'll play tonight, 399 tonight, and then next week, 400, away game, interstate game. That'll be the 400th, as you well know, Jim. But, we can lock that one in. He's not going to be rested to play the 400th back in Melbourne.
Interesting opportunity before I go for Aaron Black, because Drewy obviously misses with suspension, so he gets a look at it. Jared Waite probably coming into North Melbourne's list hasn't helped him from
I'll tell you what,
Jim,
if he kicks six, it might give you a headache. If Aaron Black comes out and looks like the player that you hoped he would have been and kicks six or seven, then it'll give you something to think about because he's been poor, hasn't been able to get into this side, there's limited spots. Pool of home is strong, they tell me. I don't know what his contractual situation is.
He's got 2 years beyond this one, by way of contract.
That just means you can control where they go, Warrior. So it'll be very interesting to see if he's able to come out and bang on a big bag tonight.
Well, explain that, please, Jim.
That's Fat Brownless, shirtless, in the box next to us. He honestly...
pressing up against the glass.
He honestly, Chief, says regularly that he thinks he's the best Nick he's been in for 10 years, Bill. When he presents like that, and hand on his heart, he reckons he's as fit and thin as he's been for a decade.
You see him every day.
What does that tell you about where he has been, if that's the best he's been, Purple, by the way?
Not a lot.
Jim, has your coach come back from his back surgery a little bit grumpier and a bit angrier and a bit more demanding?
Yep.
It's good.
I don't know about the grumpy, more demanding.
Why is that?
I reckon he sat out for a bit and was able to do what the rest of us do and watch from a different way. I reckon you get too close to it sometimes. So he was able to, for 4 weeks, sit back and watch and see a bit of what was happening for what it was. He's definitely has a different outlook. And I like it, by the way. You've got to put players on edge to make them play on edge. And you can't reward people who don't do the right thing by you by continuing to pick them. So for me, it's a wonderful shift. I like it. I applaud it. And long may it last.
Had he been lacking in that regard, Jim?
Well, I just think you need to look at the history of where we'd been at from a match committee point of view. I think we tend to back people in and tend to play a similar side. And, you know, if things don't go well, back people to respond. And we've been pretty good at responding. But what I understand he did this week was very clearly pointed out to the playing group that, the response is always there. And that's a great thing about North Melbourne. But the issue then is the following 2 weeks have often been poor. So, you get a great response. And then weeks 3 and 4 are... not as good. So almost the response is a given, but we're focusing now on what you're doing here and here, and we need to fix it, because if we don't, we're just going to be ordinary. Agree with that.
Big night for the chairman tonight, no question about that. Chief
coming over, Chief, and joining us in the room.
No, I wouldn't
hearing
have thought
some
so
nice
Jim
pearls.
I just want to see what happens with this match and whether you're in the role on Monday.
Have a listen to him. One of the great tools you are, Chief.
Well, Jim, you can't keep promoting apathy and pretty ordinary form up and down like that. So leadership starts with you and
Chief,
stops with you.
I'm less worried about that. I'm more worried about our box.
Well, he left that a long time ago, didn't he?
Continuity and leadership.
Well, you might have to step up, Chief. You've been, you started well this year, but I reckon your last 6 weeks have been poor. So, in the absence of maybe...
how would you know what my last 6 weeks
have
been like?
I've got people listening all the time and giving me feedback, Chief. And they say that it's been flat and
you
pretty
started
ordinary.
Well, though,
so, Chief, you started this year well.
I might just spear you into the president's room from here,
Chief. So, I'm looking for a nice response from you, Chief, tonight. To help Gary, who appears to me to be flat.
Like the first 6 weeks, Chief.
We'll be in the... car tomorrow, you and I, Gary, can talk
I'll
it through.
I promise you, we're going to Geelong tomorrow, Chief.
Who's in your car?
No one.
Gary.
I'll be going solo in the single person's lane the way down.
I think we need to have a nice 50-minute.
You reckon I'm joking just because I went back at 2:30 in the morning at Moravian Airport on my word and gave you
a nice 50-minute.
I won't be going anywhere
just
near
to straighten
tomorrow.
You right up.
So get Warrior in his little black. Tinted piece of crap.
Nicely prepared.
It ain't happening, Jim. I need distance.
I
need
how much pull you've got. As to how
I think he's serious tonight, Jim. I think he's serious. I don't think he's driving you to
because I'm trying to force him into saying why not I have a view, Purple, that Gary's got only so many words he can utter a day.
That's 100%
he's
true.
He's saving them.
On a especially on a Saturday.
Because you don't shut up in the car, Trip, while the gym. I don't think he wants that tomorrow.
Does he talk?
I purposely do it to Gary because it annoys you.
It's going to be the door shutting. Yeah. Jordan Spieth, you see him on the 16th. I saw Bluey up on the balcony.
I purposely do it to you, Gary, because I know how much it annoys you. Well, and we'll do it tomorrow.
You're going to give it to Warrior.
Be good.
Warrior, get ready for it. Now we can get this show started. We're at Etihad Stadium. The roof's on. Big game. North Melbourne up against Essendon. Jim Cave made a token effort. Now he's shipped off to do whatever he does at the chairman's dinner. And Brian Taylor, the Bristle, the man that tell you what, has he been in rare calling for him? He joins us now and rounds out a very nice panel. Welcome, Bristle.
Gee, things have changed here. People just come and go as they please these days.
Don't mention the war, Brian.
It's a very a very uneasy box.
We're settled now, though. We've got the team we need. Yeah. Our pencil's going to come in. He's got some questions he needs to answer. And Chief's going to lead the charge there. He's going to do the heavy lifting when it comes to DAS. And I look forward to that in a big way.
There's more demarcation potentially too, though, because BT is now sitting where Luke likes to sit.
Well,
and there's going to be an issue there.
Well, he's got 20 years to go to catch up.
Yeah.
So.
You reckon that was an issue? Order. What about when he took Komet's spot? Woo! The shoes came off and away we went.
Well, there'll be no more shoes coming off in the box, I can tell you from Komet's point of view, because he needs to think about others.
Don't mention that either. It's all been addressed. We're going beautifully. Ratings, funny thing, ratings, but anyway, we were happy with them. Hey, Warrior, let's get into some footy issues. We're going to talk Essendon, Western Bulldogs, a bit of a Barney going on with the Gold Coast over there, fitness man. Sam Mitchell, Bristle wants to talk about the state of the game, which is a bit of a hotbed of controversy right now. But let's start with Paul Little. And then on a Friday, the main papers neglected to pick up on the story you went with last night on the footy show.
That Mitch Cleary managed to speak with Paul Little, the Essendon chairman, after a board meeting yesterday. And as you'll hear in this group now, the question was put to Paul Little about James Hird going into 2016 with a contract, but the unknown beyond that point. And Paul Little makes an interesting observation that while he is contracted for 2016, there will be a review of that contract post this season.
Our board meeting today was a standard board meeting. We spent a lot of time on football, of course, but there was no undue focus on James or anyone else.
Are you prepared to go into 2016 with his contract up in the air until the end of that season?
Well, the contract's in place, so we'll have a review at the end of the year, but at this point in time, we've got a lot to be confident with and a lot of challenges.
Which James Hird well, of course, had that accident through the course of the week, which gave everyone a scare when he came off the pushy on the busy Toorak Road, but he's up and about, and that is great news. He's going to coach tonight the Bombers against the Kangaroos. A review at the end of the year, Damo, do we read anything into that, or is that standard operating procedure?
I think anything with James Hird that has the word review in it and a timeline on it, I think it's a legitimate story. If you're Paul Little and you're not reviewing that situation, you're not doing your job, nor is that board. But look, he's been very smart, Paul Little, how he's handled these things, particularly publicly, particularly this year. But yeah, there's an admission there that the contract, while it's in place, will be up for review at the end of the year.
Could it also be that Hurd's contract has performance levels that he's got to meet along the way, and if he doesn't meet those, then that automatically ticks off a review? Could it possibly have that in the contract?
BT, just given how it was done in such a rushed fashion, wasn't it? In August 2013, the contract that James Hird is effectively still on now was signed off on that very harrowing moment when he took the AFL penalty. So it may well be that.
It may have achievement criteria along the way that he's got to meet, and if he doesn't meet any of those, then that can open negotiation.
It could well be the case. And clearly the finals are out. They chose a team through the draft, through the exchange period last year that suggested they were going to go for a prize of some sorts this year, finals, as they made last year. That's not going to happen, so you could well be right.
A lot of Essendon supporters in the car or at the ground listening right now. Who among in this box expects James Hird to be in the chair, in the main chair at Essendon at round one next year?
I think he probably will be.
I think from a contract point of view, he will be.
Yeah. No, I didn't ask that.
No, well, I'm going to give you two answers. Contract point of view, he will be because they can't afford to pay him out. Should he be there is a different question for me. The answer to that is no.
But you reckon he'll be there right, round one?
I think he will be now, Gaz. On the back of the mindset change that was evident last week, it's now kids, and
exactly
I reckon he's
right,
bought
Walker.
Some time on the back of doing that. The pressure's off, the immediacy of a result.
It's
of
as
football.
Simple as playing some kids. His hand's been forced, by the way, with his older bloke getting injured. But as simple as now being made to play kids, you reckon that is takes away any doubt about him coaching next year.
It can sell. It's a mechanism to sell hope. It's a mechanism for him to buy time, certainly until the end of the year, because I reckon it was still in some doubt even a couple of weeks ago with how it was unfolding. But no, I have, on the back of that powwow last week, that Tuesday at the St Kilda Bards meeting, I'm of the view now that he will be coaching next year.
Any more on that?
Does the odour linger until they get rid of him?
Well, like, let's just put it on the table. Yeah. I mean, there's a section of in the media, certainly, you think the whole lot should go. Mm. Callum Wilson wrote that article 2 weeks ago. So he clean the whole lot out and they can't go forward until they do. So there is that strong opinion. And it surprises me, Damo, because you say in the space of 7 days, it was almost a shift of public sentiment when they got done by 110 points. Mm. It was, we'll stand by James, we'll stand by James, because, you know, on-field's a different story. They get opened up by 110 points and... You know, you can smell the wind sometimes. There was this little shift from sections maybe of Bomber supporters, and they might want to tell us differently, but, he may be not our man, and started to turn against him. Mm. So, gee, can swing on the back of a win over Melbourne.
And the other aspect too, and you mentioned the stench or words to that effect, BT, about the people still there. Paul Little has been approached to effectively be the new Ron Walker, the Grand Prix boss in this town. And Mitch Cleary did put those questions to him last night too. And while we didn't actually run that part of the interview, he did say that he doesn't know the answer. Will he be that person? But he did say, Paul Little, that if it was to go down that path, he felt that he could do both jobs. So it wasn't one or the other. And while the Essendon job is honorary anyway, he still felt he could be the chairman of Essendon and do the Grand Prix job.
Interesting. Refresh my memory, Damo. Did he not say when he took on the chairmanship of the Essendon Football Club that he was there to clean up the mess, and the moment that was done, that he was going to leave anyway?
I don't think he said that. I think there was a feeling that was going to be the case, but then it obviously blew up. And the moment he then took over after David Evans, and then took on the whole war that was created out of that situation. I felt then that he changed his mind and then dug the heels in. And yeah, look, the conversation I had with Mitch Cleary last night suggested that he's actually in for the long haul at Essendon.
And very quickly before we move on, you also, a lot of people want to know when this WADA or SADA, this whole supplements thing, is going to be done, put to bed definitively, so yeah, everyone can get on with their lives. Most importantly, the Essendon 34. Now, news last night that suggested he's going to go on to a fourth year.
It is. On the back of Stephen Dank, on Monday, he's got till 5 p.m, Chief and BT, and as you heard this last night, to appeal the life ban that the AFL Tribunal gave him. He's going to appeal that. He's going to signify the intention to appeal. I've spoken to him again this afternoon. That is still the case. He's by 5 p.m. Monday, the intention to appeal will be in.
And that means what for the players?
And the flow-on effect for that is that it pushes everything back, because the Court of Arbitration for Sport does not want to deal with the players until it knows what Dank is doing under the AFL umbrella. Gee. And they've also got the charges against Dank themselves, and they don't want to deal with those charges until he's exhausted all avenues under the AFL umbrella.
So another summer of training with this hanging over their head again.
I cannot now see a scenario where this situation is wrapped up for the players before 2016, and I'm actually been trying to work out a way today, Gaz, to work out, could it actually be wrapped up before round one? And I reckon right now, it's not going to be wrapped up by round one.
I'd be thrilled to hear that. And as I look at the screen here, the Triple M Chemist Warehouse replay screen, our very own Dr. Rowan White doing some look at me stuff on the news.
Specialist work.
Specialist.
They've got a new scanner in town, and Rowan's claiming he's involved in it.
He runs all of them. He owns all of them. I think that's the one that did Chief. They threw it in for Chief's thumb.
I went into the new setup. It is magnificent, too.
Broken thumb.
$310 billion machine to scan Chief's thumb.
From Jason Dunstall there.
This will be massive here on Sunday Twilight. Maddie's match, of course, between the St Kilda Footy Club and the Richmond Footy Club, and Nick and Jack Riewoldt have been intimately involved in the promotion of this. They've done a sensational job. Remember Jack's late sister Maddie Riewoldt, and Nick's late sister Maddie Riewoldt, and Jack's been good enough to join us in the studio. Welcome, mate.
Hello, gentlemen. How are we all?
Haven't seen you for a while.
No, it's been 12 hours?
No, you've done 8 hours. I should say you and Nick have done a fantastic job in getting word out and promoting, and that's what it's about, isn't it? And I reckon the culmination on Sunday here with a full deck, go to MRV.com
Org.au.
That's the place to go to get your tickets sorted out. So we don't want any hassle when you turn up on Sunday Twilight. I want you to bowl straight in. $5 every ticket sold goes to the cause. It's going to be massive, I reckon.
Yeah, it is. It is. And ticket sales at the moment are heading really well for us. We're certainly, in a comparison to last year in a similar round, I think the Saints might have played the Hawks and we're about 8,000 tickets up on where they were last year. So, I mean, 8,000 tickets is, I think, $20,000 for us. Yeah. So, fantastic effort there. And, look, it's been an amazing experience just the last 6 weeks, obviously, promoting the vision. The support we've received from the media has been fantastic. Triple M and the Footy Show have been outstanding with the way they've helped us promote the game. And
what have you learnt, Jack, about promoting an event in that time?
Yeah, it's been really interesting. I've sort of felt a little bit like I'm on the political trail running for Prime Minister. But look, the events team that we've got at MRV, along with obviously the media outlets, have been fantastic in the voice they've been able to give us and the coverage they've been able to give us. And be forever grateful for the way we've been able to set up the vision, and we wouldn't have been able to do it with obviously our friends, without our friends in the media.
Given the deeply emotional investment that you and obviously even more so Nick have in this match, do you think that's going to affect the way that you approach the game psychologically? I mean, will you feel a bit of extra pressure?
Look, Chief, it's going to be a hard one because I've never been in this situation before. Obviously, round one was very emotional for both of us. Because we were getting back to work, and it was a small step for us to get the pre-season over and done with. Obviously, Madeline's passing was in late February, and getting back into business mode for us certainly gave us a bit more routine. And that was an emotional night, and I really don't know what to expect come Sunday. I think the biggest thing for us is when we cross paths at the end of quarters or during the game, and even just looking at the crowd, everyone wearing purple is going to be an emotional thing. So I'm really looking forward to that.
So what happens if you do cross paths during the game and one of you kick a goal and the other one's close by? Is there a chance of a little high five?
Maybe a bum tap or a sneaky high five, BT. But look, we've really fed off each other for the last 6 weeks. It's certainly brought us closer together. We've developed a really good, emotional bond because of what we've been doing. And whether the big fella does play or not on Sunday won't matter in the end because the game of footy is actually bigger than either one of us playing. And it's going to be great for the vision to kick off this way.
Percentage-wise, do you think he will? I know you don't know if you get through the training tomorrow, but do you think he will?
Yeah, look, I think we saw a bit of vision last night on the Footy Show that he was running around, and I've spoken to him today, and he said he pulled up well. So, look, fingers crossed for him that he does play. I know he's pretty keen to get out there, and look, I think St Kilda are going to give him right up to the final whistle on whether he does make that decision and plays or not. But yeah, hopefully for him and for Saints supporters, we can see him out there representing the St Kilda Footy Club.
It's been some really stirring moments throughout this footy season, and that will be another one on Sunday. We look forward to Triple M. We'll continue to support in every way we can. Get your thoughts on this game tonight. Kangaroos, Essendon. Are you a student, first of all? What would you normally be doing on a Friday night when you're not involved?
On a Friday night, I'd be probably sitting at home watching the footy, usually, just get a bit of takeout, and it depends whether it is the night for a game. Love my footy. Really, really looking forward to watching a good friend of the MRV's, Brendan Goddard, go around in the purple boots tonight. So, I'd be sitting home and watching this. And
you'd watch that rather than the British Open, would you?
Oh, it's raining in the British Open at the moment, Chief.
Or the Tour de France.
Yeah, I'd love the Tour de France, too.
Or the Test match.
You'd be flicking a lot, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd probably need 3 or 4 TVs at home. But, look, love the footy. Actually, love probably going to the footy a little bit more and sitting up and watching the game. Probably my favourite time during the week is oppo analysis, bar sort of the game. So
tell us how long that and how detailed that is now and what that entail for the people who are, haven't been exposed to this sort of game and at this level. What sort of stuff would be presented?
Well, it's sort of probably a half an hour presentation in general, and you go through basically the offence, the defence of the opposition, and the stoppage work. So your three main scoring mechanisms, and we look at trends, and we look at the way sides like to play. But it's very analytical as well. There's most football clubs now have people that basically write reports at the start of the week. These are based on stats and an analysis of how sides play, whether they use the corridor, how they defend, where they like to generate their scores from. And we go over that in that half an hour period. Going into a game, you usually have your opposition scout. We'll watch 3 weeks into that live. Mm. So they now with modern day footy and the way we watch the game, we've got behind the goals footage. We've got all sorts of angles. You can really cover off most of a side's game plan by the way you watch it on TV as well.
Jack, just the game and the way it looks at the moment. And first of all, what year were you born?
1988.
So maybe during the period in which a lot of people would say it was at a really good quality. What has been the pinnacle year or years for you in terms of aesthetics of the game? So Jack Riewoldt watching the game, what have been your favourites? What's been your favourite 5-year period or 10-year period, do you reckon?
Well, look, I was... It's hard to say. I think at the moment what we've got is a lot of close games. Obviously not high scoring, which is probably tending to what crowds want. And what callers and the football lovers want to play. But, look, I think the game, and you look at the athletes we see now, absolutely phenomenal the way... Some of the kids that are coming through into the system these days, and I've been in the system now 9 years, you see these kids coming in, they're AFL ready, whereas back in my day, I sort of took half a year at VFL level. Certainly, following footy as a young kid, loved the period through 2000. I followed the Saints a little bit. Obviously, 98 was a disappointing year, and that was probably when I really developed a love for football.
Aesthetically now, though, with everyone following the footy, compared to what it was about you the time you were born and perhaps the 10 years after you were born, do you think it looks as good as it should? Are you happy with the way football looks right now?
I'd love to be. I'd love to see a lot more full forwards playing at full forward.
Yeah.
But the way the game's going... You speak to any coach these days and they base their game around defence.
Yep.
It's about where can you stop the opposition and their attacking process. So it would be great if we could get back to the days, BT, where you're standing in the square and you get the one out there. Mm-hmm. But that's the way the game goes. We've got such superior athletes these days and the distance they're covering and the speed they're covering at. We're always going to have numbers around the stoppage, and I think that's probably the biggest issue going forward for the AFL.
All right, Jack, there'll be plenty of Tigers fans out there listening to the Friday Rub. In your heart of hearts, do you genuinely believe the Tigers can win the flag in 2015?
Oh, look, it's a tough question, that one, Chief. And look, for us at the moment, we're playing some okay footy.
Yep.
We've through periods of this year, we've played some really disappointing footy. But we've played some really good, exciting brands of footy too. We've knocked over Freo at home. We've been able to travel to Sydney and go with the best. But the test is going to come for us and at the end of the year, and hopefully we can finish off the season strongly and make our way into finals. That's going to be the real big test for our group. And at the moment, we're working on that. We're building towards the end of this season. And hopefully we can put a strong performance into the back end and possibly finals.
So we translate that as a maybe, do we?
Anyone can win, can't they?
Yeah, exactly right.
This is a very even year. I think the Hawks are starting to really hit their straps, but there's a lot of sides around the mark.
Yep.
No. All right, Jack, appreciate your time. Good luck with this game. It's a Twilight Sunday game, isn't it, yep. St Kilda? And, of course, the Tigers on Sunday. Good luck with it. Hope you raise lots of dough. Hope the place is absolutely chockers.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, guys. I really appreciate your support.
Mate. Ship off shortly, but I'm telling you, there's a game started up at... where is that, Warrior, please? In
That's
Brisbane?
In Brisbane, I think.
Is it Suncorp Stadium?
Yep.
It is Liverpool versus the Brisbane Roar. They are jam-packed in there like you've never seen.
Watching what, Gary?
Liverpool playing the Brisbane Roar.
Well, they are one of the European giants.
Well, don't worry about that, Chief. I'm just telling you what's going on. Real Madrid, is that tomorrow night? There's a game, the MCG
tomorrow night.
99,000, they reckon, jam-packed. And Roma are here. Man City, I think, are out here.
I think for the three games.
Yep. Right at a time when our game is stinking it up as a spectacle. When you come along and watch our game and you're just seeing this pack of players go from one bit to another, an out of bounds to a boundary throw into a ball up to a 66 to 65 scoreline, 8-9, 11-8. This thing here is the greatest challenge to our game we've ever seen.
Three games have sold 225,000 tickets.
You reckon it's not a worry? I'm telling you it's a worry, Chief. Sorry, Bristol, but it's just a small editorial off the top.
Now it's a valid one, Gus. A very valid one.
Yeah, well, your kids, you know, you've got young kids who are right in that zone. They're playing soccer and they've got some work to do. I'm sure the AFL know that. Let's go for the Friday night special. This is a big segment of Friday night. It is Chief special.
Ship the hell off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Find a little boat and ship the hell off. There's a few people we need to discuss tonight. It's been a very big day in Australian tennis. They're playing the Davis Cup tie up in Darwin, and unfortunately, we lost both the singles games against the Kazakhstan players today.
Do you love your tennis, Chief?
I do love my tennis.
Kazakhstan.
So both Thanasi Kokkinakis and Nick Kyrgios both got beaten up at Darwin on the grass. Well, there's one bloke. There's one bloke not playing, Brian. Thank you for mentioning that.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
And look, he's been having an ongoing run in both Bernie Tomic and his old man with Tennis Australia and the powers that be, including Pat Rafter. So they gave him a spell because he'd got a little bit out of line. Gave him an opportunity to put his head down, get himself right, get his mind right, and get back into the fold and maybe come back and help Australia. So Bernie did the best thing he could. He went to Miami and he partied on at a hotel. And then when staff from the hotel came and said, listen, could you turn the music down and get a little bit loud, he said, I wouldn't have thought so. So then when hotel security came to the room and said, listen, we need you to quieten down, you're making too much noise, you're disturbing the other residents, he said, stuff ya. And then finally when the police turned up, he said no when they said, listen, you need to be quiet. So what'd they do? They arrested him. He shipped himself off. Straight to jail, had his photo taken and all. This is a man that's trying to turn the corner and come back into the fold. Not doing himself any favours.
Well.
Come on, Bernie.
Good start.
Good start. Strong.
We haven't spoken. We have not spoken since our very good friend Campbell Brown went and attempted to swim the English Channel, which was a gutsy effort.
Yep.
And he wanted to stay out there and fight the conditions. But it got to a stage where the captain of the ship virtually said, well, I'm going, mate, so you can stay if you want, but if you want to get back alive, you better hop on the boat because the weather's going no good. So Brownie, gallant effort, valiant effort, stayed over there to take in a little bit of the Ashes series.
Oh, no.
Decides to appropriate someone's credentials that got him out onto the ground and made it about himself.
Ooh.
Walked out into the centre of Lords prior to play starting. A security guard came running out and said, I'm sorry, we don't allow midgets out on the turf. You need to come with me, my friend, and shipped him off.
Out of the ground?
Out of the ground completely.
All right.
See you later. Yeah. Brownie, ship off.
I think he got back in, Chief.
Yeah, I know.
He was out.
And I'm not happy about that.
In the centre pitch.
I wanted him dismissed completely.
Area.
In fact, they should have dropped him off at the police station.
Any thoughts on whose accreditation he had, Damo? Because that's always intriguing.
Warren might have had something to do with
Don't give him up, Walker. We're trying to keep those names out of it.
Okay.
Saw him in action at the Super Bowl, old brown dog, and he had an accreditation. I don't know where he got it from, but it just accessed all areas for him over there.
Oh, yeah, he has suffered from kleptomania at times. with something we need to listen to. Well,
yes,
because apparently this morning on Breakfast Radio, we were under attack with some very pointed comments
from
a fellow Triple M of ours.
You've been warned. Big Nose producer has tweeted me, Luke Darcy.
Well, a preemptive strike for tonight.
Darcy has no idea
I'll
what
take
he's
them
in
all
for
down
tonight.
I'll take them all down tonight.
I'll be listening to the
Chiefs are dullard, so he'll be boring for a start. Gary's a snake in the grass. So
that's the human matchstick having a chat on radio this morning. This is the man that we haven't seen for a fortnight. Decided to take a mid-year holiday.
Longer than that.
Been ashed out. I think it's a bit forward.
Fair, well, I haven't seen him for a good month.
I'm struggling to come to grips with his absence because I thought we were a committed team.
I'm sticking with him.
He's trying.
Then what? Of course you are.
Oh, just hanging in there.
What happened after that?
He got stuck in Bali, and we all know there was the big ash cloud, and he couldn't get back.
But Jim got out.
He did.
Yeah,
he obviously wasn't pushing that hard to get out.
Yeah.
But then about 4 or 5 days later, and you know, most people have been waiting desperately to get home. They had to get the kids back to school. There were people missing out on
sleeping
work, all sorts of things.
People slept at the airport for 5 days on
correct.
The tiled
and he
floor.
Finally got on a flight.
They couldn't.
He walked out of his villa.
He and his beautiful wife, Beck, made it to the airport.
She's a terrific lady.
Straight to the lounge, sipping their champagne.
Oh, no.
Reading newspapers.
Where's families?
Swanning it up.
Families are on the tile.
The others that have slept at the airport, desperate to get home, have all made it onto the plane.
Yep.
And then about 15 minutes after the plane was due to depart, the PA at Denpasar Airport started to say, Luke and Beck, Darcy, please, gate 7, immediately your plane is waiting to take off. Made them wait for half an hour.
Oh. What?
Finally strolled on, apparently,
to the booze of the
entire aeroplane.
That wouldn't have been Beck's fault.
Could you imagine if we were sitting in the front row, or any row for that matter, and he walked on?
Disgraceful.
A half an hour.
Let me say this.
Due takeoff time.
Most people, when they're stranded in Bali, not trying that hard to get home in Duke's case, but for others, they haven't got accommodation, Brian.
No.
Because their accommodation's finished. They've gone to the airport to fly home. Duke Swan's back to his three-story villa.
Lodge, yep.
So he's got accommodation, so he's in no rush. He knows he's covered.
Do you reckon he would have taken any of those other people back with him just to
not
give one, them
not
a
even,
free
would not have you even have crossed his mind. And then he just waits, and then he just makes a call to his one of his eight butlers.
Yep.
Says, ring the airport champ, see whether we're out today. They say no, and then he just goes back out to his sun deck. And then on the last day, he said, are we out? And then one of the butlers said, yes, Mr. Darcy, out. He said, oh, all right.
He?
So he gets back, packed the kids up. Yep.
Then he rolled his bags.
And just casually strolled out. He got the limo swanned in, and they said, oh, the plane's waiting. He said, they can wait. They can wait for me.
I'm just going to have a champagne.
My
first.
Own time, I'll get there. And they said, but Mr. Darcy, people have been on it for 5 days in the toilet waiting. Bad luck, he said. I'll get there when I get there. That was it, Chief.
That was it. So for a man that showed a complete lack of regard and disrespect for his fellow travellers, I think from one and all and for everyone that got stuck at Bali, Luke Darcy, ship off.
That's your best.
A little taken out of context, all of that. I would I've just arrived.
No,
I've just arrived.
A little Peter Pipe cleaner. <how are you? laughs>
And I am full of positive energy. I just feel refreshed. I feel fired up for the second half of
the year.
You've
had a month's holiday.
And I'm not going to be dragged down by any negativity tonight. So great to see you. I missed all of you. I'm looking forward to Triple M footy tonight.
I'll tell you, I'll give you some negativity. This is the serve you copped last week in your absence when you were, quote, unquote,
you would have my back.
Ashed in.
How do you get out?
I don't know.
But the human pipe cleaner can't get flown out. Well,
what is going on with pencil?
Well, I don't understand it. Chief? I've got no idea. Chief, have you got any intel on
he's
it?
He's on the running sheet, to
unless,
be honest.
Unless he's sourcing some sort of newfangled vice that's going to give his head a bit better shape. I don't think there is any acceptable excuse for him not being here. Right. You at least made it back. But your mate with the head that has no width. I mean, I'll tell you right now, his head is a straight line. It's just got a couple of eyes and ears hanging, dangling off the straight line. It's the skinniest head I've ever seen in the world. He needs to stay buried in ash wherever he is. BT, are you normally free on a Friday night?
No.
You're not?
All I am, yeah, from football, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just thinking if we
I am.
Ship razor blade head off, we can keep BT on a Friday night. Wouldn't be a bad
razor
way to sort of go about it.
Who's razor blade head?
Have you seen how thin Duke's head is?
You've got a fascination.
I may have been taken out of context. And in my defence, Duke, they were winding me up.
I was thinking a man enjoy his own work. He was both shoulders were bouncing up and down listening to yourself then, Chief. You loved your own work, but I appreciate it.
How's your positive energy now? Yeah.
You can get stuck.
Complete dickhead.
Hey, we must give a suspended ship off.
Yep.
Who to for? James Brayshaw, because if North lose tonight, he has to be shipped
well,
off.
Well, that's the biggest news out of tonight, is if the Kangaroos go down, there will be a challenge for the chairmanship, yep. And we believe
he has to
exclusively
on
Triple M Footy, we can announce the man who's put the ticket together, Ash Chua.
The two-time premiership statistician.
Is he going to the ground?
Will take over the chairmanship of North Melbourne if they go down tonight.
I don't think he's going to go any good at it because he can't even get into the ground.
Well,
tonight,
when he becomes a chairman, he'll be right. He'll get gold passes and all sorts of things. So there you go. That's an exclusive chewer.
By the way,
he's challenging if they lose.
It's round 16, mate. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but it's round 16. It was about round 13 when you left, but it's round 16 now.
I'm up to speed with where we're at, Bristol. As I said, I'm not going to be dragged down tonight. I'm right up.
No.
I'm fresh.
Why wouldn't you be fresh?
Oh, I've had a good break. And I'm going to bring everything I've got to the table tonight. I'm right up.
Season holidays.
Fresh as a three-year-old you are. You haven't worked. It's extraordinary.
Right up.
I can honestly put our hand up. We're a touchdown because we've been carrying a load, me and Chief. And Brian helps us every now and then, don't you, Bristol? But we've just carried the whole thing single-handedly, Chief, and they wonder why we're a bit down.
And I knew you'd do a fine job in our absence, Gaz. That's what you need to do. Can I just say my highlight and low light of the trip in Bali, because I did exchange emails with Jim, and it was obligatory, maybe we catch up for a beer. In other words, no intention. I see enough of you, and let's hope we don't cross paths.
Yes.
Without fail, the first outing I had in Canggu, I looked to the right, and I think, now, I'm a fairly pasty Irishman. I tend to be a little fluorescent. I'm thinking, that is a man who is whiter than me, who looks as though he needs shade more than Cameron Ling needs shade. I'm thinking, who could that be with his chest poked out,
Linguinia,
strutting down the beach,
sunny's
on, and you wouldn't guess who it was. It was Jim,
who was as happy with himself as any man I've ever seen.
Out of Canggu with all the gangsters.
Canggu Club. He was there front and centre.
He wouldn't be when he after he heard Spud Regis rip through him after his trip over there. Look, Duke, it is nice to have you back. When were you back on the hot breakfast?
I landed back 9:30 Tuesday night, and I was back on Wednesday morning.
Right, so you've done 3 days. You need a spell, mate. You've done 3 days.
We're going to take
another
extra day.
Three solid days.
Another break.
Nice setup at Etihad Stadium. The roof's on, so the footballers get it beautifully. The boxes are small, not much leg room. Big, large men in here, and they're enclosed. And there's a beautiful aroma. I don't know whether you boys have picked up on this.
Yes, I have.
A very nice aroma wafting around the box at the moment. And I think it's not coming from Chief. Certainly
my
not
day.
Coming from Bristol either. But Tommy Belcho's walked in, and I think he sprayed something quite nicely. What are we going with, Belcho?
Wayne Carey style. Paco Rabanne.
One of my favourites.
Just a million.
Is that your Friday night scent, or do you wear something else when you're trying to get out and attract
something? No, that's my weekend go-to. Paco Rabanne.
I went to Istanbul over the late last year with Tommy Belchambers and Carl Hooker. You've never seen the locals look at these two blokes as they're going for a run down the main street of Istanbul. Singlets on, the cannons out, and Joe Watson was in bed for most of the time, and sadly he's not playing, and neither are you. You've done the metatarsal.
Yeah, third metatarsal in the foot, which is unfortunate, and yeah, as you said, Job did the shoulder, which is no good at all. We actually, both of us went over to Bali in the bye, and we came back and I busted my foot and Job's done his shoulder, so the Bali.
So you got back from Bali, right?
No, I got back from Bali, unfortunately, but it didn't go very well.
Only one bloke who wasn't able to get back, Brian. Quite extraordinary, really.
Bad draw. Hey, Tommy, how did you feel you were going this year prior to breaking down? You had some moments where you looked like you were back to your all-time best, and other moments where it felt like you were maybe labouring a little bit. Looking back on the year now that your season's done, how do you feel about 2015?
Yeah, I guess I felt really good during the pre-season. My body felt good. I got through a majority of the pre-season, so I was ready to go. And the first couple of games, I got a bit of an injury after we played Sydney up there, round one. I actually cracked my fibula, unfortunately, and then I kind of couldn't do a lot of training for the next month and tried to get up for the games, and it wasn't much fun. You obviously have to go out there and train and then play each week, so unfortunately I wasn't able to train, and I was trying to get out there and play, and I probably wasn't playing my best football. And then, as you said, I felt like I got a couple of games where I got a look at it and I could run around freely, and then this comes and it doesn't help.
Well, it is good to hear that, because sometimes you do need a reminder. Most people who had a broken fibula would take 3 months off work, and Big Tommy's fought out, played the year with a crack in your fibula, and obviously when you can't train, very hard to get out there and perform, which must make you feel good then. You know when you get the form in the pre-season and the running into you that life can be different.
Yeah, that's it. And I actually did an appearance today up in Panton Hill. I did at the local footy club up there, and I got asked the question, do you think you're going to be able to shoulder the number one ruckload? And at the moment, it's probably my body's not allowing me to do that, so it might have to be that I play a little bit more, spend a bit more time forward and then kind of 50-50 rather than be that number one ruckman as such.
One thing that did happen last week, Tom and James Hurd has actually come out and said they're going to play a lot of the youngsters. They need to get games into the young kids and see whether they're going to become players. Are there one or two more that we haven't seen yet that you think might get an opportunity? Who would they be?
Yeah, I guess a guy called Kyle Langford's in tonight. We've seen him a couple of times this year, but he's a really exciting talent. Jaden Laverty as well came in last week, and he's in again tonight. So he's a really exciting young guy as well. I guess apart from those couple of guys, who else have we got down there? That hasn't been playing.
O'Brien and Ashby are all playing
Nico
now.
Yeah, Nick O'Brien, Jace Ashby, those boys are out
there as
well.
What have you made of McKernan since his arrival?
Yeah, I think he's battled hard and he's done really well. He's brought a new, almost new dynamic to the midfield. He's a little bit shorter and he runs around really well, and his follow-up, that's really good. So his competitiveness around the middle of the ground is something that's been good for the midfield. And he runs really hard and he spreads really hard for a ruckman, so he's hard to keep up with.
He still looks more like a second ruckman again, which is what you're talking about playing. So there's still that role there for a number one ruckman if your body's not going to allow you to do it.
Absolutely. And I've sat down with Sean a couple of times this week and gone through a bit of Goldstein stuff. He's obviously a class ruckman, and Shawnee's going to be up against it tonight. And yeah, we've sat down during the week and I've gone through a little bit with him, so hopefully he can do all right.
issues down back, issues up forward. Your good mate, Cale Hooker, was used as a forward in recent times. Do you think that will be a role that he plays between now and the end of the year and, until you start getting your A-graders back?
Yeah, I think he will. I think he'll play forward again tonight. And
do you know what he's doing, Belcher? Come on, mate. He's a great mate. I've been watching him closely. I'm not sure he knows what he's doing. He's competing hard.
Yeah, he is. He's competing hard. And
have you been tutoring him?
Oh, I try, mate. But I took him back to a game where I kicked five against Port. That was, about as good as golf for me. But no, he's yeah, as you said, mate, he's trying really hard. Yeah, he hasn't played down there a lot at all. He's been an All-Australian defender. And to take someone out of your key defender out of your defence and put him up forward, and really he's got no experience up there. It's a tough ask, and I think he's actually done really well.
He's
first week, and he was quiet last week. But I think if he gets a good one-on-one matchup, he's going to be really dangerous tonight.
There's so many injured players at Essendon, and then yourself out for the year, Watson as well. Is Carlisle expected back in your eyes?
Yeah, I believe he is. I was in rehab this morning with him, and I think he's done his syndesmosis, is it, in his ankle?
Yep.
Yeah, he's done that. So I think it was more of a four to six week injury. So he'll definitely be back before the end of the year. And if he gets back, then Hooksy Carl will definitely go back, I would think.
And do you have any intel on his future? Obviously, it's a decision he's got to make, but do you have any feel for where he'll be next year?
I haven't really spoken to him too much about it, mate. It's obviously a decision for him and the club. But he seems really happy with the club at the moment, you know, and he's an energetic guy, big buckets, and when he's out there playing footy, he's enjoying himself. So the quicker we can get him back out there on the field, it's going to help us.
Hey, Tom, another really tough year for the Bombers, and with everything that's been going on and happening, tell me, where were you and what was your initial reaction when you heard that the coach had a bicycle fall and a serious concussion?
Yeah, it's not funny. I shouldn't laugh, but it's... I was at home, and I think I was sitting on the couch with Hooksy, and we got this message, and we just thought, oh no, like, not again, you know, like when you get a club message and it goes, you're reading through it, you just think it's not good. The ones that we've received in the past haven't been really good, so it's it was a bit of a shock. But then you know, the light-hearted jokes kind of made it through, and the boys started taking the piss a little bit out of him. So no, he took it well.
After hours, I'll do the obligatory gym question because he's not here. He's rarely here these days. After
we're alongside one of the best ever, aren't we? We are
talking about...
Tommy is as good an operator.
Cox plate in the Melbourne Cup field. This man can go either
group
distance...
Group one, bone crusher, our Waverley star style.
And international two, if need be. So where are we at, boys?
Just prepping for the off-season at the moment. As I said,
training
I won't be
up.
Back this year for football, so it's the focus is purely on Vegas and the off-season.
So when you say you're in the rehab group, is that more about getting the rig ready for the
100%.
Footy trip?
100%.
What?
100%. You hadn't held back on the aftershave either.
My eyes are watering, Belcher, with the Paco. But anyway, it's like nice to see you, and we need you back.
The shoe goes too.
You don't even have to look, because sometimes you realise. I'll tell you what, Big Belcher goes with one of those real deep singlets, you know, real low hanging singlets.
You've got to be a big unit to pull them off.
You get nice ab work and a nice bit of cannon as well.
Oh, I've never worn one of them.
That's
a lie.
That is not a lie.
That is bullshit.
On that note, we'll let you go, Big Tommy.
A real deep hanger, him and Big Hooksy.
Enjoy your off season, Tommy. We look forward to seeing you fully fit and back out there next year.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Hey. Big Tom Bell Chambers out for the rest of the season with a badly injured foot, but a great man. Great to have him in the Triple M commentary box.
Warrior, let's just whip through a few other of the footy items that have been going on. Lukey Beveridge, I know Luke Dar single-handedly has appointed him and got the Western Bulldogs back on track. He's a measured man. He's been so impressive this year, but he just, I think for the first time, and rightfully so, I would have thought, just bristled a bit today.
He did, on the back of Justin Cordy, his fitness advisor, being lost to his club and heading off to the Gold Coast Suns. There's issues there, given what's happened with people walking out of the Bulldogs, I think by way of history, and also within season that the Suns, who are effectively an AFL-run footy club, have poached his main
advisor. Poaching the staff's always going to be an issue, isn't it? And when you do it and when you don't. But is that the biggest sticking point here, is that the AFL effectively is still in control of the Gold Coast Suns?
Yeah, and it was an issue with North Melbourne, if we recall. The Gold Coast Suns, after they sacked Guy McKenna, made a very significant approach to Brad Scott.
He does play out the year, though, at the Dogs, does he?
I think that's the latest with it, BT. But obviously, once your mind's elsewhere, I think you're... performance in some respects could be elsewhere too, and that's the fear. So Luke Beveridge today, though, Gaz, as you rightly said, did buy into it today at his press conference about Justin Cordy leaving.
Justin is a contracted member of our staff, and for me it's really disrespectful for the Suns to talk publicly about their new relationship with him. They've really, in some ways, crossed the line, I think, and it's disappointing.
Really admiring Luke Beveridge, how he's going about everything he's doing this year, particularly the way he handles himself in press conferences, and good on him for speaking up on this situation, because a first-year coach, it would have been easy just to sort of toe the line and say, oh, well, it's a Suns issue, and we'll just we'll bunker down and not say much here publicly.
But Duke, you're not taking that. It's worse than Bulldogs power broke, are you?
Oh, look, I love it. I love Bevo's response.
No, I'm not talking about Bevo. I'm talking about the fact that Justin Cordy is shipping off halfway through.
Yeah, no, I think it's pretty ordinary. Like, I would be tempted to say ship off now.
Yeah, I would too.
Next response.
I reckon you're right.
And we'll cope without you.
But you're going into a finals campaign, potentially.
Well, that is, I think, what Bevo would be upset about. Now that it's become public, it's public for the players. Now, if they could have managed that and said, OK, it's a timing issue, you may have thoughts elsewhere. You commit 100% to this group. Mm. No one needs to know about it. You get the best out of this group, I can deal with that, and you can deal with your future. So for the Gold Coast to go public, now it affects the playing group. You don't know where he's committed.
Most two ICs would be able to get it done, though, surely, wouldn't they? In the loop.
Yeah, I would think. They work really closely. I think what also, Luke, from what I'm gathering, is upset or disappointed about is the fact that Gold Coast are spruiking it. They're going, we've got this bloke, you know, he's on board. You know, then they've got a club who are contending still. And the bottom line is, from a Gold Coast point of view, you want him. I don't care what anyone says. If there's phone calls aren't being made now from a Gold Coast perspective to say, look, we've got O'Meara out, we've got this bloke out, we need a program for him, him and him, because they've been decimated by injuries.
Yep.
The reason they've gone after him, obviously, is very good, and there's a need.
And they don't have one at the moment. Stephen Schwert has gone.
Right. Yep. So if you can't tell me that they're not saying, we'll just fax you a list of the blokes who are our biggest issues, and if there's not a bit of back and forth
should
going
the dogs,
on.
Should the dogs sever right now? My gut feel and instinct is that exactly. Say, thanks for coming, thanks for your time, and out you go, Justin.
Mm. But you have to pay him out, though, Dars, because obviously the contract runs usually to October 31 and 35 cents.
If he's done a contract with another club, he's breached his contract, absolutely.
But that's beyond the October 31 period.
Yeah, but if it has been announced now, I think, for his own reputation, you could mitigate that and just say, hey, look, as Gaz said, his eyes are going to be on the Gold Coast injuries and not what's happening.
It makes it difficult too. I mean, intellectual property, all of that stuff that he owns, club.
When you know they're going, Brian.
Yep, gone.
Yep.
See you later.
I mean, imagine the sort of stuff that's going to happen between now and the end of the year that he will be privy to.
Yep.
And you say Bontempelli gets something wrong with him along the way. Mm. You know, do you want that from a bloke who's already committed to another footy club? I wouldn't.
And I'd imagine Peter Gordon will raise this very officially, very formally with the highest levels of the AFL, as Carl Delina, the North Melbourne Chief Executive Officer, did when he got wind of Brad Scott being made a very formal approach to coach that footy club, knowing the Gold Coast Suns, knowing that he was in contract for this year and next year at North Melbourne. Just on the Suns, they've made their decision on Bunnell, playing NEAFL football this week, has got the right to come back next week. $5,000 fine, that'll go into his own support programs. But they've actually released a statement. John Witheriff, the chairman, and Andrew Travis, the chief executive, have issued a statement today to their own members. And it's as open as they've been. And it's quite, I suppose, complimentary to because they've finally admitted to their problems. We know the actions of some players who have made poor choices and taken illicit drugs have hurt our club, our supporters, partners and the wider community. We're both disappointed and angry that some players have made poor decisions and have failed to live up to our values. Those players have let down their teammates. It goes on along those lines, BT, but at least it's the first time they've gone on record with the admissions of, as they say there, illicit drug use of players, plural, and I think it's a good way forward for them now. They've actually got it onto the table because they did make this issue or attempted to make this issue go away in the off-season. They certainly attempted to make it go away when we put it to them in March, and they've now been left with no choice but to get out on the front foot and go into a proper investigation into it. And as you can see there, they've at least come up with some form of finding on it.
Head finally out of the sand.
Simon Goodwin, Damo, you mentioned last night on the footy show that the Adelaide Crows' first call would be to the former great of the Adelaide Crows, who has committed and you're at pains to add this last night, to a five-year contract. But we know that people have opted out of contracts or chosen to try and get out of them. What can you tell us?
Yeah, that call will be made next week. As the Crows have not sat down at all to work out which process they undertake to find their new coach, but they will do so as of Monday. There was a subcommittee in, and the phone call
just take it as fact that will be made, if it hasn't already, to Simon Goodwin, just to ask him the question that they put to him, Das, back in September last year when Brenton Sanderson was sacked, and they made that call to him then. Within 24 hours, Melbourne put to him this five-year deal.
Well, we know his great mate is Mark Rusciuto. In life, who now is the football director at the Adelaide Crows, so that would have already been made. Is there any way or shape or form where you think it's possible that Simon will entertain this, given the emotion of what's happened? And
I think no.
Yeah.
Personally, Paul Roos today came out and publicly spoke about it and I know.
What did he say? I didn't hear.
He said, you know, he wouldn't be surprised if Adelaide asked the question, but we can guarantee you that 100% that Simon Goodwin will be coaching Melbourne in 2017.
I spoke to Peter Jackson last night about it too, and he just referred to the fact that it was an assistant coaching role this year and next year, and it kicks in as a senior coach for 2017, 18, 19.
And used the term watertight.
He used the term watertight himself.
So that's one continuous deal then?
That's one continuous deal.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he coaches Adelaide Crows at some stage, Goody. I think probably in the overall scheme of things, that would be that he will end up at some stage. But I would be almost certain, and I absolutely agree with you, that they'll make a call.
And they did. I won't say they offered him the job last year with the Sanderson thing, but they made the same call they're going to make. Are you interested? And if you are, we'll give you a leg up in how we go about what we do. So that's the situation. Chief, you were talking about the soccer before. Rafael Benitez, Real Madrid coach, had some pretty interesting observations to make about the MCG surface.
The pitch was not the best, so we have to be aware of that. We have an important game, important players, so hopefully they can do their best for the game. But I know that will not be easy, but just to say that it's fine, but could be a little bit better.
Bagging the MCG.
Rafa,
well, he does have a playing roster worth about $7 gazillion.
I couldn't care less. So
and let's not forget, I think that ground is prepared, and we should all understand it's prepared for this game.
Turn it up, Brian.
And so would you expect it to be of soccer level? No, you wouldn't, because it doesn't take 5 days to get to soccer.
Of horticulture. What? Tell us to the layman.
What culture?
Horticulture. isn't that dirt and grass or whatever it is?
Tell us, it's interesting to know what length of grass we prepare as opposed to the pitches in England.
Well, they want tight and fast area, and they're not going to get that in football in the middle of winter when it's soft and it's allowed to grow.
I'm with you, the Wolf. You
can't. This Rafa Benitez. Get him up here. We'll have a chat with him. You're going to whinge about the MCG.
No, I don't think he was whinging. I think he was answering the question and saying, "Well, the pitch is not great.
It's not the best.
It's not the best." He said,
"But we're going to play on it."
It's not the best.
Straight away.
Well, don't come out here if you're not happy with the MCG. It's the greatest sporting arena in the world.
Finest turf anywhere.
How would the curator of the MCG be going? Finest turf anywhere.
It is let me tell you, different stages they are used to playing on lawn bowling green.
Chief.
These guys.
Yeah, that's the problem. They've got their heads up their backsides.
No, we think that the MCG is the greatest ground in the world, and it's a beautiful ground. But
Warrior.
We just get caught up in our own little world.
Down to Maraba,
there's a lot of great sports stadiums, and the MCG may not even be in the top 10 for all we know.
Yeah.
No, I do know.
What, you know it's in the top 10?
No, it's in number one in the world.
Yeah, we just say that. It's
best sporting ground in the world.
What about Cowboys Stadium in Dallas?
That's not a footy. That's
what
a stadium.
What a beautiful stadium that is.
That's artificial turf.
Oh, well, sorry.
The best turfed stadium in the world.
Rafa wouldn't be complaining about that service.
Rafa, I'll tell you what Rafa needs. He needs a good, healthy serving of reality.
If they came out in the summer and played in the summer when it was being prepared for cricket, I'm sure they'd like it.
The pitches would be a problem.
Because there was half a divot on the half-forward flank. Yeah.
Have you been over to the Bernabeu?
Rafa walked over and he looked and he said, I'm not happy with this.
Well, have a look at Jim, in the cricket fraternity. I mean, they're all similar to Jim.
Well, that's a whole different argument, Brisler.
It'll be in good shape in the summer, Gav.
It's in magnificent shape right now.
It's in great footy shape.
So whoever they think they're sending out
there. It did look a bit patchy last week, I thought.
A bit like your hair, Warrior. That's what it is. Patchy. Yeah, no. You can ship off. You're going to argue against the greatest grassed sporting stadium in the world. Bar none.
I'm with you, Wolf, on this occasion.
Thank you, Duke. Nice to have you back, Duke.
You wouldn't want him as an ally, Wolf.
No, I know that. Right now, I'm grasping for anyone.
Very much weight. Shut up! The footies on Triple M! Triple M rocks football.